Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So here's the translation for you. It's from the prayers of Sri Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Narsingadev. He talks about fear and becoming free from fear. O best of the great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Purport. Throughout the entire world, everyone is making big, big plans to adjust the miseries of the material world. And this is true at present, in the past, and in the future. Nonetheless, although they make elaborate political, social, and cultural plans, they all have been described herein as vimudha, or fools. The material world has been described in Bhagavad Gita as dukalayama shashvatam, temporary and miserable. But these fools are trying to turn the material world into sukalayam, a place of happiness, not knowing how everything acts by the arrangement of material nature, which works in her own way. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudatma kataham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. There is a plan for material nature, personally known as Durga, to punish the demons. Although the asuras, the godless demons, struggle for existence, they are directly attacked by the goddess Durga, who is well equipped with 10 hands with different types of weapons to punish them. She is carried by her lion carrier, or the modes of passionate ignorance. Everyone struggles very hard to fight through the modes of passionate ignorance and conquer material nature. But at the end, everyone is vanquished by nature's law. Should we be louder? So, I would like to give you a summary of this half of the purport so that you can really relish the second half. Prabhupada basically points out that although the material world is so temporary and miserable, people make plans which are always foiled to turn it into sukalayam, a place of happiness. Now he will speak about a separating borderline between material and spiritual worlds and how a devotee can come into that spiritual dimension in his life. There is a river known as Vaitarani between the material and spiritual worlds, and one must cross this river to reach the other side, or the spiritual world. This is an extremely difficult task. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Daivi Shesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Duratyaja. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is so difficult to overcome. The same word durācarya, meaning very difficult, is used here. Therefore, one cannot surpass the stringent laws of material nature except by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, although all materialists are baffled in their plans, they try again and again to become happy in this material world. Therefore, they have been described as vimudha, first-class fools. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was not at all unhappy, for although he was in the material world, he was full of Krishna consciousness. Those who are Krishna conscious, trying to serve the Lord, are not unhappy, whereas one who has no assets in Krishna consciousness and is struggling for existence is not only foolish but extremely unhappy also. Prahlad Maharaj was happy and unhappy simultaneously. He felt happiness and transcendental bliss because of his being Krishna conscious, yet he felt great unhappiness for the fools and rascals who make elaborate plans to be happy in this material world. This is a very famous verse. Let us read it again and understand it. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies and countries. And I'm simply concerned with love for them. My dear devotees, I was personally remembering this shloka 1 year ago, when I was lying in a hospital bed and my hospital caretaker was wheeling me to the room of surgery. I knew they would have to put a full anesthesia on my body and I would come out of the surgery room with a wound which was 4 centimeters deep and which, in order to heal, strangely enough, would have to be kept open for 1 month, 4 centimeters, not 4 meters, but 4 centimeters deep wound. And then I read this, how Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. Now, being somewhat of the experiential type, I thought, well, I can see I am full of fear here as I'm rolled in and brought to the knife of the surgeon. I'm definitely not free of fear. But how can I become now fearless? I was thinking about this. And not only was I thinking for myself, I was thinking a little bit of the devotees. Many devotees now are insecure in some ways. They have some fears of the future. Fearfulness. Well, let me not say devotees in general. To be afraid is a sign of being in the material world. It's natural, unfortunately. We cannot so easily escape becoming afraid. It's almost like if you decide to swim in an ocean, you can't avoid to become wet. If you swim in the ocean of material existence, there will be fears. Fears of your health, maybe. Fears that the heating will stop totally for the rest of the festival. fears, maybe, if you can maintain your brahmachari or brahmacharini ashram. Fears for the future, maybe a question, will I really become Krishna consciousness? Okay, Krishna conscious. The fear is the biggest, the fearing problem is the biggest problem of all the four problems of material existence. It is the biggest. And therefore, this world has been described to be Kuntaloka, the area of fear. Just this morning, one devotee came to me and revealed to me that his professor, who is looking over his academic career, has debunked his work. You know, he had to write a work in order to become to finally stop his university studies and go to Vrindavan. And the professor had said, there was nothing, that was not good. You have to most probably do an extra year of academic torture. Fear. It's natural. It will come and in some way or another. So Prahlad Maharaj says he is not afraid of material existence. Why is this? How could he become free from fear, which is so prevalent, which is so all-pervading this material world? I think the answer to this question is in this word magnacitta. Magnacitta means his consciousness was absorbed. His consciousness had become different than an ordinary material consciousness. And therefore, his consciousness didn't connect with the fearful atmosphere of material existence. He was absorbed. His consciousness had turned. It was no longer the normal consciousness of a normal soul. Jiva Goswami describes what should happen to the consciousness as we absorb, as we follow Krishna conscious path. It should change, it should color itself. You know, this cloth was once white, but when it was put into the dyeing pot, it's not to dye, but it's dyeing means to bring color to something. I dye my shirt, for instance, doesn't mean I kill it, but I put a new color to it. So, in Krishna consciousness, this is the duty which all of us have. If we want to take the process serious, we have to dye our consciousness. We have to change it. We have to put a new color to it. No longer the color of material existence, but the color of Krishna consciousness. Krishna speaks about this in the Bhagavad Gita. There's a verse which happens to be one of the verses from the Gita which is lectured by Prabhupada. How to say it in English. Of all the verses in the Bhagavad Gita, he had a few verses which he would lecture again and again. And this is one which gets, so to say, the highest points of Srila Prabhupada, touching it and lecturing it to us. And it's a verse which you know all, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, chapter 7, verse 1, Maya Shakta Manapata Yogam Yunyam Madashaya Asangshayang Samagrangmang Yatagyasyatitachenu. It says, now here, Krishna says, now here, listen, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga and full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Mind attached. to Krishna. Maya Shaktamana. That is how to color the mind, how to dye the mind, how to change the mind. The mind has to change its object of attachment. Attachment means something you stick to, something which sticks to you also, something which builds a bond with you, and so on. For instance, this microphone is now attached to this other microphone for recording purposes. Soul is attached to the material body for enjoying purposes. It's a big bondage. And to break that bondage means to change the attachment. The attachment from matter to Krishna. Now, how to affect that change of consciousness is explained in the Bhagavad philosophy. And if you are interested to understand it in depth, I would like to refer you to the first canto, second chapter, verses 17 to verses 21. In summary, the process which is delineated there, which is described there, how to change the attachment from the world to Krishna, is a very simple, actually. At least in the process itself is simple, not complicated, but you will soon find out how successful you are in this application of the process. Krishna, he says, no, in the Bhagavatam it says, you can't really change your consciousness on your own. You need Krishna's help. It's not possible to purify you from to purify our heart alone from material attachments. Just when we thought we are free, whoops, there we are again. Attached to fame, attached to our suppressed sexuality, attached to our own safety and future. Very easy happens. We see that often, even in our dreams we see it, how difficult it is. So it's possible, says the Bhagavatam, by Krishna's help, not by your own strength. And how do you obtain that help of Krishna? Well, you should Srimvanta Svakata Krishna, you should start hearing regularly about Krishna. Then Krishna becomes so attentive to you that he enters your heart and he purifies all that which is auspicious, inauspicious, the material attachments. This process of hearing about Krishna should be augmented, means should be made more strong by serving a pure devotee. And then, if you do this, you will see how these forces which bring about your attachment to the world, that is Rajas and Tamagun, will go down and ultimately disappear. And at that time, this bondage to the material energy is severed. Severed means cut. The hard knot of material affection is severed or cut by hearing about Krishna. Do you have this experience? Are you hearing about Krishna and have you seen that your material attachment has been cut? It's not a question which we can answer very quickly by just the new devotees will always say yes, 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 but the old devotees, they wait a little bit. They think about this question a little bit deeper. This is the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam throughout speaks on these lines. Sanat Kumar, you know, once there was a meeting, Paritu Maharaj received the four Kumaras, and Sanat Kumar, the oldest, spoke to him how attachments can be cut to this material world, and he wanted to know that, and how the attachment to Krishna could be made. And it's a long answer, it takes many verses, but the main principle is you should hear about Krishna and apply the process of Bhakti Yoga. But the Bhagavatam doesn't really offer much more details. It just sticks to this line, to this process. And I really request you, because we need to understand the process of Krishna consciousness, to maybe make a little study about it in your own reading time. Now, when we go to the Goswami literature, and when we listen to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we will get a little bit, we will get more information. And basically the process works of hearing about Krishna and applying what you have heard if you have three conditions. You must be free from offenses. You must avoid aparad like anything, because if you make offenses, especially against devotees, then Krishna is dissatisfied and turns away from you. You must increase your Shraddha, your faith. For a faceless person, this process doesn't work. When he can hear. But it won't work. And he must really have the desire to become Krishna conscious. Once Prabhupada was being asked, how will this process work? And he said, you must desire to become Krishna conscious. At another time, Prabhupada used to quote very often the verse, the price for Krishna consciousness is lolyam or eagerness. And I remember in Hawaii, I heard a lecture where Prabhupada was asked the same question by one of his sannyasi disciples. How, Prabhupada, how will we ever become disattached from Maya and just become so attached to Krishna? And Prabhupada said, you must be anxious for this. You must really, it must be in your mind. It is anxiety. No? So, Prabhupada used to talk about this, and I wanted to find something where yes, it's actually here, in a lecture in New Vrindavan. He talked about how hearing about Krishna, and you know, wanting to do this process is important. Would you like to hear this? It's from a lecture in 1972 in New Vrindavan. Prabhupada talks about useless institutional life, religious institutional life, where you don't advance. He says, so you can have your churches, you can have your temple or your mosque, but if you do not develop your tendency to hear about God, then it will not be successful. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Dama svanustita pungsam vishvakshena katasuya. Nuparayat yadiratim. By going daily to the temple, daily to the temple, or to the church, or to the mosque, or anywhere, any religious building or institution, if you do not develop your propensity to hear about God, then you have wasted all your time. going and coming, going and coming, going, coming. It is simply labor. That's all. So that is the test. Therefore, either in temple, or in church, or in mosque, there must be regular recitation on the talks of God. Otherwise, people will lose interest, and the churches and temples have to be closed. Now, Prabhupada is now talking what this means for the Krishna consciousness movement, to develop interest to hear about Krishna, and to go into this as the medicine against this attachment. He says, so talks of God are here in Krishna consciousness, because our God is not impersonal or void. No! He is the Supreme Person, Krishna. And now he points out how Krishna looks. He will talk now about God. You can see personally how he is standing, how he is enjoying with his eternal consort or lover, Srimati Radharani. Here is God. Actually, God is not engaged in punishing somebody. Here is the original God. God is engaged in enjoying with his eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is enchanting Krishna. And Krishna is enchanting Radharani. This is the business of God. So, this process to hear about Krishna and his pastimes and his qualities, that is the process how to become Krishna conscious in this life, and our advancement in Krishna consciousness is really measured in how much we really become attached to this hearing about Krishna. Maybe some of you know that the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education has been offering retreats over many years now, where devotees can hear about Krishna. This year it was very much visited, these retreats, and a retreat center will be built. But what has been very much clear to the teachers who are trying to serve the devotee community with this is devotees need to hear about Krishna personally to really become mad. I want to express it like this, to really become absorbed. The good word for what we mean with madness is absorption. Totally nothing else is in the mind. It has changed. It is Krishna is there. And one needs to hear about this. I remember in the Serbian summer camp we had asked the devotees what would they like a summer camp to be with. And one devotee very nicely answered, we should hear about the Bhagavatam. We should hear just about Krishna from the Bhagavatam. And the devotee was echoing really an increasing feeling of dissatisfaction with an empty spiritual life, and but a life where Krishna is really residing in the heart. That is very simple, this change of the mind, you know, from where so many anxieties are in the heart and so much difficulties are in the heart. That comes by hearing, and hearing in an offenseless way, you know, where one is careful to know, you know, the offenses, and hearing with faith ultimately, and then developing this great desire, which is the engine of our spiritual life, which moves it forward. This great desire in the heart that I want to love Radha Krishna. I want this most of everything else. That this is my desire. This is a very, very important. to finish in 3 minutes. It's a big subject, and I would now like to talk about Krishna, but I have somehow the devotees have been so kind to give me a slot in the afternoon to do so a little bit more. But the prime example in the Bhagavatam of the heart changing just by the process of hearing is, of course, Narada Muni. In the ninth canto, we hear that Narada Muni was in his previous life quite lusty. He had Narada Purana describes that he was so beautiful. Imagine that once there was a session of where heavenly girls were instructed in the arts of singing and dancing. And in the midst of the session, you know, Narada Muni passed by in his form as Upavahana. And the teacher just looked a little somewhere else, and all of a sudden, when he looked up, all the girls had left him. The class was empty. They had run after Narada Muni. Imagine, maybe the beautiful Amara comes here. No, I don't want to joke with Amara. He's our priest. Someone very beautiful, let us call him. Balaram Das, you know, comes and just looks, and then he disappears again, and all of a sudden you all would be gone and following Balaram Das as he walks through the snow and thinks Rolling Stones songs, you know. This is what Upabhavana did. He sang worldly, Prabhupada says, cinema songs. But he was beautiful, and people were just following him. So he had definitely sanskaras of material life. And he was cursed. He took birth as the son of a Shudra. And all these sanskaras, as we learn, follow the soul into the next life. But he heard from these, when he was a young boy, from the great souls who visited the house of his mother. And he served these great souls by washing their plates and cloth and every small services. And he became the great Narada Muni just by hearing from them. And he gave up his worldly life. And he, it's described when he finally met his death. No, even before he met his death, I should say. Even before he met his death, he saw Krishna just by following this process. Krishna told him that in this life you won't see me again. I want to increase your eagerness, and therefore I'm disappearing from you. You're not yet totally pure. You need a little bit more eagerness. And Krishna went, and then Narada Muni, after having met Krishna once, was very eager. It's described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when the Lord came to him, Narada Muni first heard the tinkling of the anchor bells. Click, 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 click. Then he heard the beautiful flute of the Lord. Then he smelled the fragrance of the Lord. And finally he saw the form of the Lord. And when the Lord disappeared, he only had one idea. He wanted to meet him. He became I would prefer the word absorbed over the word mad, because mad is used in a certain psychological context in our language. But it's really absorbed. He only had the thought, Krishna, 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 where are you? And that, he's the example which gives us, in hope. So, my dear devotees, you are Sankirtan devotees. You are worshipable for us preachers. You are doing the service which Prabhupada highlighted as the service where he is very, very satisfied. He said at the end of his life that, you know all this, when he heard how his books were distributed, he got a new life. It pleased him that much. Because what you really do is you distribute a process to become absorbed. If the people take to the books, they will become absorbed for a minute, or 2 minutes, or 10 minutes, or maybe an hour, or a week, or from this little absorption, which they feel when they read, they will increase their absorption, and one day sit in the association of devotees and hear how they talk about Krishna. So this book distribution is really offering a process for people to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness and lose their fears, their anxieties, which are so prevalent in this material world. If you yourself feel you want to become more absorbed, please do take your reading hours, which you do when you go on Sankirtan, very serious. It will help you very much to also become totally fearless and empowered to do your service. I would, it's difficult for me to stop, but I have to stop. Thank you very much for your attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Transcendental Book Distribution ki jai. Kadamba Kanana Maharaj ki jai.
Jnanatimanandasya ginanana salakya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano vistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam darati svaparantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So Prahlad was not at all afraid of material existence. And he proved that by, in so many difficult situations, just simply remaining focused on the Supreme Lord. That's not possible as a matter of sadhana. If one tries to fix the mind on the Lord by willpower, that will be very difficult. The word sadhana means practice. So if one, by means of a practice of hearing, chanting, and remembering the Lord, one tries to fix the mind, then it will be extremely difficult. It will be a struggle. Although there will be successes, and there will be inspiration, and we will go forward, and everything is auspicious. But still, we will feel ourselves weak at times. Prahlad was another type of devotee. He was a devotee who had realized the glories of the Lord, who had appreciated deeply the glories of the Lord, and therefore was deeply filled. His heart was filled with the glories of Krishna. And in this way, Prahlad was able to withdraw himself from the most difficult material circumstances. And in this way, he was able to just remember the Lord, and not only the Lord, but to see the total purpose of the entire cosmic manifestation. He was appreciating the purpose for the existence of all living beings. And because Prahlad deeply understood the eternal nature of the living being, Jivera Sarubhai, Krishna and Nitya Das, that every living being is the eternal servant of Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad developed deep compassion, appreciating that all the living beings were bewildered somehow or other and were pursuing wrong goals in life. And although they were extremely convinced that these goals were of utmost importance, Prahlad knew that what actually could really bring happiness to them. In this way, Prahlad was a true preacher, and he was a preacher throughout. He preached through his demoniac schoolmates. When Lord Nrisingadev was offering him various benedictions, he was not interested in benedictions for himself, because not out of just a mood of humility, but rather out of a mood from, I already have everything. I simply have everything I need. Why would I require anything else? I am totally absorbed in my life. There is nothing lacking. But if I look at others, there is so much lacking. Therefore, my focus is on others. So here we see an interesting dynamics in the consciousness of a preacher who must go very, very deep and deeply relish the glories of Krishna. Kirti means the glory or the fame. So Sankirtan actually means to spread the glory and fame of the Lord everywhere and to be absorbed in that glory and fame of the Lord. And ultimately, it is like that. We may chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as almost a magic mantra. A mantra that's just so amazingly powerful that it will transform us, and we're chanting it. And how will it transform us? It is explained that it will bring us to the point of appreciating Rupa, Guna, Leela, and so on. That we'll see that the name and the form of the Lord are connected and non-different. We'll see that the qualities of the Lord are within the name, and we'll see that the pastimes of the Lord are within the name. And in this way, our realization will go in depth. Sachi Nandan Maharaj addressed this point, how the Sankirtan devotee must go deep and cannot live an external, superficial life of practice, but must be absorbed in really glorifying and appreciating the glories of Krishna. The verse that we are talking about is in the second half, is speaking about, my concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. The second part of the verse is describing that sense of compassion that lives in Prahlad, and his a compassion born from not a passion, but a compassion. Not a passionate feeling, I'm going to deliver all the conditioned souls, I'm going to save them, it's like somehow or other I got to do it. A deeper level of understanding, that they're lost. They're just very lost. And what a shame. What a shame it is, because by nature, the living being has such potency for unlimited happiness, and there's just not a moment to be wasted. Therefore, somehow or other, let me be an instrument to immerse them in this, in the wonderful, ecstatic exchanges with the Lord, by constantly glorifying Him. This is the activity of the spiritual world. It doesn't really matter whether it is Vraja Lila or Gaura Lila. It is the same thing. The glorification of the Lord is going on. In Vraja, everyone, it's Krishna, 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 wonderful Krishna, all the amazing thing that Krishna is doing. The Vrajbasis never for a moment stop to think of Krishna's amazing glories. And in Chaitanya Lila, we are making the effort to glorify Krishna and spread the glories. Of course, we are in this era, in this age of Kali. I was thinking about that this morning as it was still dark, and it gets dark so early, this time of year, December, the dark time of the year. It's kind of reminded me of dark Kali Yuga. And how that is, people are trying to create artificial light, the glitter of Christmas everywhere, which is so much hype that it's just too much, and it's so plastic and so unreal, and it doesn't alleviate the darkness at all. It rather increases it. And then I was thinking how Lord Chaitanya's movement is the only thing that alleviates this darkness. Yesterday, some devotees, a Grihastha couple, they came and visited me, and they told me a nice story that their family was thinking that they were getting a little bit too much into Krishna consciousness. So they thought they would give them a vacation of Krishna consciousness, and they arranged to go to the coast of Croatia. So they were there for half an hour, and they met a devotee who said, are you coming to the program? And it was a big program. Vyasaki was coming, and there was going to be a huge kirtan, and that was it. The next day, they're walking in the street, and someone saw the neck beads and said, Hari Bol. And every day, they met devotees somewhere. So their parents were totally fried. But not only were the parents totally fried, but the parents were also totally touched again and again. And one can see these parents, they can't run away. And Krishna consciousness is transforming their life. They feel it coming. They don't want it. No, they don't. But there is no chance for them to escape. They are surrounded, literally.
I'm just going to Radhadesh from here day after tomorrow to teach a course on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I was in the car reading about Lord Chaitanya. And this is the Sri Chaitanya Chandramrita from Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, who is a great devotee from South India, a sannyasi, related, the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And such a devotee with such faith in the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I think if there's one book that sort of displays faith in the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then it's this one, the Sri Chaitanya Chandramrita. So it's an important book from an important devotee, because an intimate associate of Mahaprabhu, and because he displays so much faith, we can compare and we can see that our faith is not so developed. And we can also see how his faith is rooted. We see the roots of his faith. So there's one verse on the back, and I thought I'll just read that one. Although I could have read so many, but again, we are squeezed for time. Now that the moon of Lord Chaitanya Chandra has revealed the path of pure devotional service, the materialists have given up talking about their wives, children, and material affairs. The scholars have given up debating the scriptures. The yogis have given up the trouble to control the breath. The ascetics have given up their austerity, and the impersonalists have given up impersonalism. Now there is only the sweetness of pure devotional service. Now nothing else is sweet. Text 113 from the Sri Chaitanya Chandramrita. So that's very interesting for me, this verse. First of all, it speaks that it is all a fact, right? It first of all establishes that it's all happened. Right? Everybody, there is no more, there are no more materialists, no more debating, no more scholars who are just theoretically debating the scriptures, yogis, no more ascetics, no more impersonalists. It's all gone. Well, I see them everywhere. Right? Wherever I go, I meet impersonalists. I have my own philosophy. I know. Very original one. Right? And then it's the same old impersonalism. Scholars are studying our movement now. We are not just some an underground movement of the 60s, an extension of the hippies that appeared on the street and just almost an extension of flower power. Nowadays we are categorized, we are analyzed, we are thoroughly placed in boxes by experts who are cutting our movement into pieces and who know more about our history and tradition than all of us know about it together. Yeah. And they will argue very expertly, and they write books about our books. Yes. And they write books about our tradition. And they make their own translations, critical editions, and they just explain that the purpose of a critical edition is to destroy all myths. And whereas the naive believers are just weaving myth. And thus, they are expertly cutting down faith. So, we're not just meeting people who are addicted to sense gratification, but we are meeting people who are out to overthrow the little bit of faith that we have.
and to systematically undermine whatever we believe. Impersonalists are certainly haven't stopped with the four Vedas. They have gone to Srimad Bhagavatam and tried to explain it in an impersonal way, and they have come to Chaitanya Charitamrita, and they're trying to explain that in an impersonal way as well. They will somehow or other never give up, and yet Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur is writing as if it's all done, as if the whole world is already blissful and already absorbed totally in Krishna consciousness, and it's just on every street corner, and it's so easy, and you know, distributing books, people come running at you and ask for stacks, and right, instead of the endless excuses, no, sorry, no time, no money, endless excuses. Somehow or other, I wanted to meditate for a moment on this consciousness of Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. What is it? Is he Trigalakya? Does he see the future? Is he seeing the future? Is he like Prabhupada, who was sitting on a park bench and someone was seeing him as a lonely man trying to preach his beliefs? And Prabhupada said, I am not alone. I have many followers. I have many temples. Is Prabodhananda like that? Or was Prabodhananda simply seeing the seed of pure devotional service, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya that had entered into the hearts of so many people? And did he just overlook everything else? The impersonalism, it's only flapping. It's already dead. It's already dead. It's killed. It's not even worth discussing anymore, because the mercy of Lord Chaitanya has entered. It has entered. So, whatever may be, Trigalakya, or having this deep vision of the potency of the mercy, I felt that we could reflect on the potency of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which comes in the form of Bhagavatam, because he was bringing Bhagavatam, and then which comes his added mercy, his mercy where he says, whatever is difficult will become easy. He'll make it easy. I'll leave out the Sanskrit because the clock is like ruthless. So, coming then to a conclusion, I'm not thinking about us as the distributors of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm first thinking of us as the recipients of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have been touched, and so much so that it's too late to do anything else. Sometimes we wish it wasn't so, but somehow or other, we're stuck. We're stuck with this Krishna consciousness. That's his mercy, even against our will. Somehow or other, it came in our life. And now, as recipients of this mercy, we know that now it is his desire, and the desire of his representatives, who came to us in the form of Srila Prabhupada, to give this mercy to everyone. And that is how we take it up. Not fearless, like Prahlad, not with love for the people, but with faith, that if we take this up, that we will penetrate into other realities, spiritual dimensions, that in that way we will attain
perfection. One minute on the clock. So I think you bring the questions that come to your mind, bring them to Satchinanda Maharaj's seminar. That's the only option. Because in the schedule we can't manage it. But I think there is no question. I think that it's obvious. By embracing the spirit of Prahlad, by accepting the mercy that we received, now taking shelter of it, just taking as much shelter of it as we can, we will find that we become more and more surcharged with the strength to pass on this mercy. And as we do, we will find that our absorption in the Lord is increasing day by day. And we start to laugh, we start to dance, we start to roll, tears come to our eyes. And we remember Lord Chaitanya, who said, who cried tears like millions of rain clouds. And in this way, we will automatically be lifted up to the level of the spiritual world. What question remains after that? I don't know. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Well, then we're going to fill the stove. Just as the stove has to be filled every 2 hours with, or 3 hours with wood, in this kind of weather, the stomach also has to be filled every 2 or 3 hours to keep the temperature going. So I guess that will be the order of the day. Preetu Prabhu.